Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of City Union Bank, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Prabal Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. I welcome everyone on the first earnings call of City Union Bank for fiscal 2025. From the management side, we have Dr. N. Kamakodi, MD and CEO, Mr. R. Vijay Anandh, Executive Director, and Mr. J. Sadagopan, CFO. Without further ado, I'll hand over the call to Dr. Kamakodi for his opening remarks, and then we can follow it up with Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Hearty welcome to all of you for this conference call to discuss the unaudited financial results of City Union Bank for the first quarter of financial year 2025. Board approved the results today, and I hope you all have received the copies of the results and the presentation. As you are aware, RBI voided its letter dated 28th May 2024, given approval to appoint Mr. R. Vijay Anandh, Executive President, as Executive Director for a period of 3 years. Subsequently, he was co-opted as Additional Director, Executive Director by the board at its meeting held on 24th June 2024. You might also have seen the announcement of our annual general meeting to be held on 22nd August 2024, which will be happening through virtual mode. On behalf of our board, I invite you all to participate in the AGM. During the Q4 financial year 2024 call, we had stated below our expectations for financial year 2025. With all new digital initiatives together with the strengthened top and senior level management, we could see some visibility in the growth front going forward. Post-MSME digital lending model will be expanded to secure retail lending such as housing, LAP, micro LAP in Q1 financial year 2025. On asset quality front, we will continue with the trend of reduced slippages coupled with the improved recovery for the current year. We have restored our ROA to our long-term average of 1.5%, and it will continue. We will see the benefits of digital lending processes in the coming quarters. Since we are taking the cost upfront, our cost-to-income ratio will be slightly higher than the current year. And once full benefits of the digital lending and other initiatives transfer into growth, the cost-to-income ratio will start to come down. By and large, the numbers are in tune with our expectations. Historically, if you see our credit growth in the first quarter of every financial year, we used to have a negative growth compared to the last quarter of the previous financial year. But this year, we had registered a marginal increase in advances growth in the first quarter of financial year 2025 compared to Q4 financial year 2024. We are seeing these positive numbers after 10 years. We had registered 10% advance growth in Q1 financial year 2025 year-on-year, and our advances closed over and above Q4 financial year 2024, that is 46,481 crore, and increased from 42,405 crore in Q1 financial year 2024 to the 46,548 crore in Q1 financial year 2025. BCG have completed their assignment with respect to MSME lending unsecured products in June 2024, and now we could see the implementation of digital lending starting to give initial results. Apart from our core strength of MSME, now we are slowly spreading our avenues in secured vertical like secured retail, micro LAP, housing, etc. We have piloted the digital unsecured lending only for existing customers, predominantly salaried and yield around 13%-14% with the complete digital workflow application. We have just built a small portfolio of 3-4 crore on this particular pre-approved credit. So we'll just wait to see the behavior before we do any scale-up or what it is. We have made a very small beginning in this. Our deposits stood at 54,857 crore for Q1 25 as compared to 51,655 crore in Q1 24, registering a growth of 6%. Average CD ratio of first quarter financial year 25 stood at 84%. Theoretically, we can grow advances by about 3,300 crore with existing deposits and surplus funds. Asset quality front, we had stated that we will continue to have recoveries over and above the slippages. For the current quarter, the total slippage is 178 crore, while the total recoveries is 226 crore, consisting of 192 crore from the live NPA account and 44 crore from technically written-off accounts, resulting in recoveries more than the slippages. As a result of this, our gross NPA percentage has sequentially decreased from, 4.91% in Q1 financial year 24, 4.66% in Q2 financial year 24, 4.47% in Q3 financial year 24, 3.99% in Q4 financial year 24, and now further reduced to 3.88% in the current quarter. Similarly, our net NPA number has reduced from 853 crore and net NPA percentage to 1.87% in Q1 financial year 25 from 2.51% in the Q1 financial year 24 and 1.97% in the Q4 financial year 24. Our interest income had grown by 10% in Q1 financial year 25 compared to the corresponding period Y-on-Y and increased to 1389 crore from 1266 crore in Q1 24. Our yield on advances stood at 9.59% for Q1 financial year 25 as against 9.53% for the same period last year, and it was 9.85% in the Q4 financial year 2024, and NIM stood at 3.54 for the current quarter. Generally, earlier banks were permitted to charge the penal interest on stressed loan accounts, and the same was discontinued from April 2024 further to the changes in the RBI guideline. Now banks are permitted to charge the same as penal charges. If we add back this portion of the penal interest compared to what we were doing for the earlier quarters, our yield on advances would have been 9.61% and our NIM would have been 3.6%. Our cost to income ratio for financial year, Q1 financial year 25 stood at 49.34% as compared to 51.26% in the Q4 financial year 24, showing a sequential decrease. The charges paid to, the fees paid to BCG for the digital lending implementation was over by Q1 financial year 25, and the cost of the new avenues of retail business will take at least 6 quarters to get adjusted with the increased business volume. Explained in the earlier quarters, so this year there will be, all the expenditure are taken upfront. Income will start picking up only towards the end of the year. Next year there will be break even and after that only we will be having profit getting added because of these initiatives. Because of this, as we discussed in the earlier quarters, our cost to income ratio will be in the same range of 48-51% for the next 4 to 6 quarters, and as per our expectations, our ROA stood at 1.51% for the Q1 financial year 25 compared to 1.40 for the corresponding period last year. Our PCR has improved to 73% with the technical write-off and 53% without technical write-off in Q1 financial year 25 as compared to 70% with the technical write-off and 50% without technical write-off for the corresponding period last year. Overall, SMA2 number of the advances also currently stands around 2% as explained in the earlier quarters. We had achieved a PAT growth of 16% and our PAT stood at 264 crore against 227 crore in Q1 financial year 24, that is 16% growth year on year between first quarter last year and first quarter this financial year. To sum up, with the help of the digital lending and better and efficient underwriting methodology, we hope our advance growth will be back on track. We are exploring various avenues of advance growth in addition to our core strength of MSME. we are putting our best efforts to reach the industry level growth as soon as possible. So in the last con call, many questions were asked about the, let's say, what is the guidance and all. I refrained from giving any guidance. And I said, you have to make a call from the numbers. And now we are able to see some amount of increase in the numbers. And we are working hard to ensure that there is a stable growth going forward. And we have, as we have seen, we have reached, let's say, double digit for 30th June to 30th June. And also, first time, let's say, positive growth in the first quarter after about 10 years, which is giving us sufficient confidence that things should be better as we move forward. And ROI is expected to remain at our current level of 1.5% plus. We should achieve our PAT growth with the help of reduced slippage and provision requirement. As you have seen, because of the other upfront, let's say, expenditure and all what we are taking. We have to wait for maybe 2-3 more quarters to see the operating profit showing corresponding increase compared to the business growth. Our cost to income ratio should remain in the range of 48-51% for the current financial year. So as discussed in the previous con call, once again, we are building our capacity both in human resources and technology infrastructure for future growth engines, particularly retail. So there will be a drag in the, as we have seen, in the profitability as explained earlier. So it will be reaching break-even only next year and probably adding to the profit kitty by next, beyond that. So with this opening remarks, I open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harshada Gite from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. So we see that the fee income has increased the Q1Q. So what are the drivers? Does it include the PSLC income?
No, as explained, some amount of incremental fee income has come through your both, as said, the interest income which is getting, which had to be booked as other income for the SME accounts, and also some amount of, positive momentum we are seeing in the insurance front. So these two are adding some amount of, push for the other income growth.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, what are the drivers for the decrease in the other operating expenses Q on Q?
See, the I'm not saying that, you basically have the other expenses or by and large, there is a sequential, what do you call, from 369 to 363, but year on year, there is a growth of 21%. We don't expect any major decrease in that going forward. In fact, our annual income, annual increments will be coming only in the second quarter and all. So, there will be a we don't expect any drivers. But the once the productivity picks up, as we said, which is a few more quarters away, the increase in the income will be there. With the stable cost structure, there will be a reduction in the cost-to-income ratio. So the we don't expect any sequential decline in the cost drivers in the other expenditure.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, who wishes to ask a question, may press.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Malani from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. This is Vijay Kapoor here from Sharekhan. My question is, could you give us some more light on your digital expenditure and how this will benefit across the board?
Yeah, in fact, we had a detailed discussion in the last conference call.
Hmm.
We appointed BCG last year for a one-year, contract which got ended on the 30th June.
Mm-hmm.
Using them, they helped us to build the digital lending processes, API integrations, and all such things. And some of our peer banks had earlier done that, and we were waiting for them to settle. After that, we started. So now, almost our, we started with less than 3 crores, then we extended it to 5 crore. And currently, as per the RBI's definition of regulatory retail portfolio, is 7.5 crore. So from all the, proposals, less than 7.5 crore goes through this digital software now. It basically automates, starting from the KYC to Aadhaar number check to PAN number check to CIBIL check to then it analyzes your GST returns on an online basis. Then it analyzes the account statement through Perfios software. Then it analyzes the account operations. After that, income tax and other financial returns. It fits into our policy, and then distinguishes the proposals whether it can be given or it cannot be given, or it has to be referred to the credit for the manual check if at all any deviations are required. But proposals are by and large doable. So the first product was put on track way back in November. So after that, subsequent products were, changes were done. Similarly, the, both for MSME and also for retail products like housing loan and LAP and all. So all the basically fundamental checks and putting it into the system are automated. And that process has, by and large, complete with, after completion, the BCG also completed their assignment, and this is where we are currently.
Okay. Just one follow up question is, how much expenses you have made for this digital lending project?
Yeah, we discussed in the last con call.
Mm-hmm.
We gave about 25 to 30 crore to, total fees to the BCG, which works to about 2 to 3% of our overall PAT. This is apart from the software cost and the implementation, APIs. Most of these API charges are on the pay-per-use basis.
Mm-hmm.
So the software comes to about 10 to 15 crore or something like that. So this is the overall expenditure on this particular project.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants may press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Puneet from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So first is on the growth front. It's been disappointing. Like last year, I remember FY24, we were heading towards a double-digit growth. I know there is a seasonality in 1Q and all that stuff, but still it's flat on low base. It's very disappointing. So are we still targeting the double-digit growth? What are the reasons for a lower growth this quarter? If you could elaborate on that.
See, as I told you, cyclically, first quarter we always used to have a negative growth, and after 10 years, for the first time, our Q1 figures are more than Q4. And like say, so we are able to see some initial momentum after whatever investments, whatever practices we had done on all the things we have been discussing so far. So, like say, from as I explained in the last con call once again, the December 2022 to December 2021, we had a 14% growth. But that 14 came to, let's say, almost flat or 1 to 2% for December 2023. So now, after that, once again, the growth has started in a slow and steady fashion. You have already started seeing 10% first time double-digit growth after multiple months. And we are working our best to ensure that this momentum is taken care and get to the next level.
Yeah, so the double-digit target remains, right, for the end of FY25?
Yeah, already, yeah, that's what, already we have reached that, and it has to, we are working to ensure the growth rate further accelerates from where we are.
Okay, okay. Also, on the ROA target, it will remain 1.5%, so you that also holds there, right, continues. The ROA target that you...
Yeah. So, about 2 quarters back or so, we got back to that 1.5% trajectory. So, some amount of, as I told, some amount of upfront expenditure we are taking and some increase in the cost is there. So, there is some amount of impact on the operating profit, but we are still able to make 1.5% because of, like say, favorable conditions with us in terms of the asset quality. Now the slippages are like say less than the like say recoveries. So because of this, we are getting benefit from the asset quality, credit cost, which is helping us to maintain this. And we have enough elbow room in this factor for at least another like say 4 or 5 quarters or so. With this only, like we are talking about like say maintaining the 1.5% ROA.
Right. So these 4 or 5 quarters, you expect these strong recoveries to continue, right? So another 4 or 5 quarters, if I can take it in that.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So that's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shreyas K from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Absolutely, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I wanted to ask if the competitive intensity on MSME loans has increased given the recent digital push by bigger players on MSME loans.
See, as we have been saying that, it's not that competitive intensity which is going through a major thing and all, because this competitive intensity is in place for almost a decade. Which perhaps started, as I have been repeatedly saying, when ICICI Bank took over one of our peer banks, Bank of Madura, 2 decades back. And all new generation banks are with us for almost more than a decade in every places. And the competitive intensity is pretty much there for almost a decade, if not more. More than anything else, in fact, like say, last year or maybe about, like say, 4 or 5 quarters back, you had what you call some amount of insane pricing and all. Those things also cooled subsequently. Sanity was restored back in the pricing front and all. So it is, in fact, things have improved in the last 1 year. And over a period of time, the competitive intensity is like this only, and there is no major change whatever.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Krishnan ASV from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Very good evening. Thanks for this opportunity. I mean, if you could just throw some light around this entire VCV exercise, more importantly, what percentage of your existing customer base, according to your own analytics, becomes eligible for this end-to-end digital journey in terms of being just pre-approved so that they can go through the pipe? I mean, have you had some initial assessment around this? What is your assessment of where we are today? You said you had built a 300-400 crore portfolio already. Just wanted to understand your early experience in this portfolio and what's the kind of addressable market that you think within your own, because it's meant for ETV. So I was just trying to understand that. Yeah.
See, the fundamentally speaking, like every one of my existing customers whose exposure is below 7.5 crore, they have to go through the pipe in the future, even for the renewal. So these, once they are entering into my system, after fulfilling their KYCs and after, giving their GST return or P&L or account statement, which is once again, if they are existing customer, my own existing statements, based on, and even if it is for new clients also, based on our policies and our track record, what is the, quantum they will be eligible, the system will be throwing. So in other words, 100% of my existing customers who are, who have taken less than 7.5 crores, both existing and also new to the bank, they have to necessarily go through this particular software only. So the software, makes multiple, recommendations, whether they are eligible for credit, whether we can give, if we give credit, what is the risk rating, what is the range of pricing that should be they should be eligible for this. This is what the system looks into. This perhaps earlier turnaround time, which used to take at least 2 to 3 months for taking a credit call. Now, if the customer gives the OTP and the documents in the required format, he will be getting a decision within 2 to 3 working days. If he gives everything, once the entry is done, in the same day, he will be in a position to release it. That's the best. If one or two, if it comes under the, amber category, where some manual deviations have to be taken, at the best in 2 to 3 days they will be getting a credit. This is they will be getting a decision. This is where things are at this point of time now. And, one more thing on unsecured front, in a very small way, it's almost zero. It could be a potential product maybe 3 years down the line or 4 years down the line. We have just made a small beginning. We ran an analytics and took about 2,000 customers. In that, we got a hit rate of about 10%. And overall, the book built through this scheme is hardly about 4 to 5 crore or whatever it is. And 2-3 months we are watching, and we don't have any delay in the repayment or whatever. So it has been started in a very small way, though it is the amount is insignificant today. It will give us some experience to look into this maybe in the over the period of next 5 years to come.
Understood. And purely on this unsecured piece, which is meant for retail unsecured, just wanted to understand how. So is that also meant predominantly for ETB customers who we have already been banking with, or does that book also expand into ETB customers?
No, it is currently only ETB customers who are having salary account with me, and we worked out based on their average balance, monthly credit, their CIBIL score, and so many factors were taken into account, and we just took a small sample of 2,000, sent them messages that they are eligible for the pre-approved credit. And the entire journey was digital, do-it-yourself mode. So we wanted to just test whether it is working okay. So it worked okay. Once we crossed the 10% acceptance, we just closed the funnel. Almost like say 2-3 repayments cycle is over. So far all those accounts are like say without even any like say DPD or day past due or whatever it is. So once we get a grip like say how to expand that to my other broader existing customers, we may be like, but this particular segment, as we have explained in the past, this is not in our immediate priority. So our first priority is to like say go ahead with the MSME lending, then followed by the secured retail portfolio like housing loan and car loan. So that and this particular unsecured thing for existing customers we have started. But this unsecured thing may, like say, show some amount of next level improvement over a period of time, maybe in the next, like say, period of 3 to 5 years, as explained.
Got it. Just one last question. You mentioned about the first piece, which was around the 7.5 crore limit for the regulatory retail classification. How much of your existing to bank business would actually be eligible below that 7.5 crore?
See, we have about say 30,000 crores around 30,000 crores of MSME book. In that like say 30,000 crore, which works out about 75%, because you have another 10-12,000 crores of gold loan. Leaving the gold loan part and greater than 7.5 crore away, we should have at least about 60-70% of our total loan book, and about not less than 75-80% of our non-gold loan book should be eligible to go through this digital process.
Understood. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jai Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. And two questions, sir, from my side. One is, there was an RBI regulation that suggested that, you know, the banks now have to charge interest only from the period of disbursement and not from the date of sanction. Have we implemented, is there any impact in this quarter or maybe going into second quarter?
Yeah, far as this one, we had been in compliance even before the arrival of that circular. This is basically happened particularly for the whenever like say predominantly for the retail lending where like say new to the bank where dispersal happened through the checks or whatever, where there could be difference between the time of sanction and the time of actual reduction from the money withdrawal from the bank account. But far as we never had this particular issue right from the even before the arrival of the circular.
Okay, that is very good to hear, sir. Secondly, sir, in terms of the new products that we were, you know, that we had started under the leadership of Mr. Vijay, if you can just update, sir, sorry if this question was repeated, I had joined the call a little bit later. If you can highlight the progress there, and by the end of the second quarter, should we start to see the book building up, or how is the progress there?
Yeah, we are in the process. Mr. Vijay is here. He will be explaining how the progress is being made in terms of assembly of people and how the like say technology infrastructure and other things. Vijay will be explaining to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We should be there by September, as communicated in the last call. We are looking for a launch, pilot launch by September. Our digital process is getting ready. Predominantly, again, we are getting into classifications of basis risk score and one which can be immediately decisioned and one which should go to underwriter for decisioning. Our team is also joining. We expect the team to be here by August, September. The systems are also broadly in place. Hence, we should start our pilot disbursals by September, last week, second week to third week. And full fresh, we expect this to happen in Q3 and Q4. This is what they brought the progress on this. And we intend to do loan against property, home loans, affordable and micro loan.
Right. And Kamagodi sir, so in that context, now we have delivered a 10% YOY advances growth in flattish QOQ, which is better than last, let's say, 4, 5, 6 quarters on a YOY basis. Is it like fair to say that, you know, we would now be double digit growth trajectory? I mean, we'll not fall back to single digit trajectory. And if there is anything you want to update here.
See, this is what we are working hard for, and we wish you see that consistency as we move forward.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I will take the next question from the line of Puneet from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for taking my question again. Just on the OPEX bit, our growth has been in line with the OPEX. OPEX has been sequentially, I understand you mentioned that the technological expenses have been high, but even the employee expenses have been high. I'm sorry if I missed this, could you comment, why is that?
Yeah, as I explained, let's say last time, taking some expenditure upfront, both in terms of technology and building the team. It will take some time for that engine to give the business. So that's why our cost to income ratio also has shown some increase. So initially there will be some drag in the profitability. Next financial year we will be breaking even. And it will be adding to profit kitty only beyond that. So that's where we are in this particular item. And one more item, our annual increment cycle will start from the 1st of July. So there will be some, increase in the, salary expenditure sequentially. So, but overall, as I explained, for the whole year, we had a cost income ratio of about 47% for the year as a whole for financial year 24, and the last quarter we had about 51% cost income ratio. Overall for the year we should be having somewhere in between, and we had about 49% for the current quarter. This is how the expenditure part looks now.
So, and secondly, on the unsecured loans, you just mentioned that, you know, the pilot process of LAP, home loans, micro LAP, affordable is going to start from September. Unsecured has already started, right? And what is the mix you target? Say, I know FY25 might be a short process, but by FY26 to get to a book mix of secured and unsecured, currently it's very small, but any guidance there?
Yeah. Please understand, the first priority on retail will be only secured. So as explained, first priority is for having this, housing loan against the property and all. Expansion of that portfolio is what Vijayanand explained, which will start, show some light at the end of the tunnel after we start in the September month, Q3 and Q4, some amount of, growth you will be seeing over there. But unsecured retail funding is only as a test case we have started, and it is not in our priority now. We hardly have about 4 to 5 crore currently. We are trying to learn the, to ensure that the particular portfolio works okay, what are all the things we need to learn and all. It will be, we will look into the suitability of that in our portfolio maybe beyond the 3 years, or maybe between 3 to 5 year thing. We will not be expanding fast as we have done in the past. Our focus will be more on the secured lending. So earlier we focused, we had always been on the, MSME and secured lending for the creation of business assets. So some amount of extension we are doing into the loan against the property, and housing loan like what you call your secured retail lending. And don't expect much for like say unsecured lending. It's only the proof of concept, and we are a very long way from building that going forward. Be very clear about it. Good that you asked that question.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Malani from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Some disturbance is there from your side in the mic.
Yeah. Is it fine, sir?
It's better.
Yeah. So my question is, sir, credit cost is very low for this quarter. We are low for this quarter as compared to, you know, yearly on a yearly basis. And this is adding to the overall profitability. So what do you think for whole year FY25? Is this and I think the lower credit cost would sustain and continue? And continuously it will add up for the profitability for the whole year?
Our, let's say, in fact, if you had looked into the, let's say, last two, three years, so last year we had a slippage of about 1,000 crore, and for the financial year 2023, we had about 1,300. So effectively, the slippage came down from 1,300 to 1,002. This year, we expect about 800 crore or something like that, maybe even slightly below that is what our calculations currently demonstrate. The recovery numbers are almost 1,000 crore plus is the stable numbers which we have started seeing about 200 crore to 250 crore both live and technical rate of accounts put together is the run rate which we are anticipating. So as explained in the previous quarters also, this year also there has to be a considerably reasonable credit cost moderation compared to last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajagopal Ramanathan from Sadakush. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I just have one question, sir. What is your long-term balance sheet growth aspiration and steady-state ROA? Because you've been a bank which has delivered reasonably good ROAs over a long period. You've seen a long cycle. You've gone through the ups and downs. So do you think over the next 5 or 10 years, you would be anticipating that your ROA should sort of stabilize between, say, 120 to 130, and your balance sheet growth aspirations would be anywhere between, say, 10 to 12% or max 15%?
See, the as you explained, up to financial year 19, we stabilized our ROA. We crossed 1.5 and started reaching about 1.6, 1.7, levels also. We started planning for our next level of ROA expansion. That is when the COVID came. Bulk of our calculations, were tested. We got back to 1%. Then we increased it to 1.15, 1.35, 1.45, and 1.5. The pre-COVID level is almost demonstrated. We expect once we start seeing the delivery from the or productivity from the new growth engines which we are trying to add, definitely there could be expansion in the ROA beyond 1.5 whatever we are there. In this cycle, maybe for at least another not less than 6 to 7 quarters or so. There is every possibility that current favorable credit cost environment may prolong. Maybe we have to wait for the next cycle.
And on the growth part of it?
In 15 years, we increased our demonstrated a growth at least about 2 to 3% over and above the growth of the industry. And we could in a small way see the market share almost doubling from let's say 0.2 to 0.4 or something like that. Then there is a post COVID, there is a let's say pushback, and we are still growing below the industry level. So our long term let's say strategy over a period of decades, as you rightly said, we are a 120-year-old institution. Even though we are one of the bigger banks for a longer period of time and for the most of the cycles, we have demonstrated ourselves as the bank with improved efficiency and profitability metrics are closer to the top 10% of the industry numbers. So our aspirations are to get back to, I mean, we don't... let's say, believe in having extra natural growth much beyond the industry level growth and paying the price later. So we take a let's say steady path, growing maybe a few percentage points over and above that of the industry growth rate is what we have demonstrated over a period of time, and it has proved good for us in terms of the long-term stability of the institution, which we think we will be let's say following that path, proven path, as we had seen in the past.
Okay, which probably sort of if I infer out of that, then where you are sitting with respect to capital adequacy at 21%, technically you don't require any capital for the balance sheet for another 5 years then, because if we assume your balance sheet growth to be calibrated, I don't see any reason why you are likely to see significant capital consumption. Would I be right in that assumption?
Yeah, you might have seen our last major capital raising through QIP was 10 years back. We are not, fortunately, like say beyond year 2000, be it in the Y2K issue or after that 2008 global economic crisis, or beyond that, AQR because of the infrastructure lending and let's say corporate lending, consortium lending and all. In every cycle, we survived without any problem, and even COVID cycle, we survived with a few bruises, not much of issues, and we had not gushed the capital in the past. So that are the only thing is that like we have to improve our own return on equity. So matching, if our return on equity and the growth rate by and large matches, we should not be requiring any additional capital or whatever. You may ask another question. In fact, you have our notice for the AGM is released today. In that, once again we are asking for the QIP, but this asking for the permission of QIP is the permanent fixture of our ATM approval for the past 10 years. We have that even more than 1.5 decades or so. We used it only once. But if at all any requirement comes in between, maybe for any strategic reasons or any offer which we cannot refuse, we may have to, the process itself may be time consuming and all. That's why after the arrival of QIP regulations by the SEBI some 15 years back, every year in our AGM we take approval from the shareholders. It's purely an enabling resolution. We used it only once and only when it is absolutely necessary or absolutely when the offer is irresistible. So this particular asking for the shareholder approval had been a permanent fixture in our AGM for the past maybe more than 10 years or so.
Yeah, I appreciate the clarification on that. Actually, I was not bothered about that because I knew that if you're saying that you're essentially going to be shoring up your ROE over the next couple of years then, and with what your expectations are, clearly you're not going to be seeing capital consumption, and therefore it's quite unlikely that you will further tank up your capital and push yourself into an overcapitalized zone. So, if I'm permitted to ask just one question. So, you said a possibility of a strategic opportunity. So, would you be interested, or, well, I'm not putting words, but is it more from a expansion of the lending business, which means a potential opportunity on the NBFC front or on the tech front, what is the type of strategic opportunity that you might be interested in?
See, we don't have anything in hand and we don't know what is in store for us. I will just give you one, let's say, answer which will be making you some sense.
Yes.
Say, we were asking for the shareholders' approval. And we were, I'm talking about the pre-2014, which was the year when we went for the capital raising. Before that, when I had a lot of, pressures from the investor front or investment bankers and things like that, I made a claim that I will be going for, QIP when I get an offer for 2x price to book. At that point of time, I thought two times the price to book was something which was unreachable, because when I started, the price to book was 0.5. So, and when I made our first preferential allotment to L&T, LIC, Blue River Capital, Argonaut and all way back in 2008, it was at 1x price to book, which itself was about 25% premium to then prevailing market price. But suddenly, people were prepared to give premium and 2x to price to book opportunity came. Which made me, you don't know what type of opportunity may come, whether it will be good and all. I mean, you are keeping all the options open. I mean, good that I am not talking to any press person who will write a headline tomorrow saying that something is there and all. I don't have any opportunity now. I don't know what opportunity in store for me. It is a practice which we have been practicing over a period of more than a decade, and we have been using it extremely in a judicious fashion, and only once we have used it. So don't take any, there is no reading in between the line. It is just a continuation of our past practices, nothing else. It's a purely, continuing the, practice which we have been doing over a period of 10 years or so. Nothing more, nothing less.
Thank you very much. All the best to you. Bye.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I joined a bit late. Congratulations on a good quarter. So couple of questions from mine. One is on the yield, right? If the penal interest was more than adjusted for the same, would yields have been similar to the last quarter?
As I explained, the NIM would have been 3.6%.
Okay, understood. No, but if you just please clarify on the yields, would they have been stable or slightly lower?
Sequentially speaking, the yield you would have closed with 9.59%.
No, correct, but
if you add that back, it will be about 9.65-9.7 range.
Understood. And so just a broader question, right? I mean, obviously this, the penal interest has impacted the entire sector. But otherwise, now interest income is now, free of all aberrations. I mean, last few quarters, we've seen a lot of aberrations. So now it should be smooth, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, understood. Secondly, on the LCR, so two parts of the question. One is, you had mentioned last time that, there was some discussion with the RBI on the LCR definition. It was about 200% odd. So, is that number revised or is it higher? That's the first part. And the second is, your initial assessment of yesterday's LCR circular, please. Thanks.
See, based on those things, I think the this is the news. I was actually expecting this question. What has basically happened is that you have now a draft circular, particularly on the LCR calculations and all. So the which probably will make us to change some of the calculations or interpretations with which we had been calculating over a period of since the concept of LCR came about close to a decade back or whatever. Because of these changes, I think the entire sector's LCR will converge around maybe 115 to 125 or 110 to 120 or sort of. You won't be having aberrations. I mean, everybody will be now, getting to this range. There will be, requirement of, redeployment or reorientation of the resources. Even for us, we have some overseas deposits which we, used to invest for maybe some few basis point extra interest and all. So we had to now get those things back from the overseas on maturity. We have to bring them back to our fold. Once we get them back and all, we will also be stabilizing around that number. So basically the non-callable deposits also, we have in that we have about 2,900 crore which we got that and all, which is getting eligible for this favorable calculations. So some amount of aberrations, ups and downs, things should be stabilizing around 115 to 125 for all of us and for us also.
This is after considering the impact of yesterday's circular, right? That's what you mean, or without that?
Yeah, taking into consideration the latest circular.
Yeah. Just one small question, sir, extension of this. So do you expect because of this redeployment towards excess liquidity, do you see further margin pressure because of this, or we're okay?
Nothing material. These sort of things are done on a treasury basis for one or two basis point arbitrage and things like that. Nothing material will be happening because of this reorientation.
Sure. And the last question, please, if I can squeeze one. One is, cost of funds have peaked, or you still expect further hikes?
It's almost peaked, but expected the reduction in the interest rate cycle will start. But now enough indications are that they are not going to be as quick as it was expected. So by and large, it looks at the cost side, it is almost peaked.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. That's it from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all of you for joining this press conference, and thanks for AMBI team to arrange for this. This quarter, for the first time after 10 years, we have positive credit growth in the first quarter. Things are improving, and for the we have got back to double digit growth after multiple months. Hopefully things should be getting better and better from where we are. If you have any specific questions and all, the contact numbers are given in the presentation. You have the contact numbers of Raghuraman, who is contact person for the investor contact, whose number and email IDs are given. You may also contact any of our executives, be it CFO or our GMs, Mr. Jayaraman or Mr. Ramesh or whoever it is, who will be in a position to explain you the numbers. Things get better and better from where we are going forward. Once again, thank you all for participating in this conference.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.